So what's on your mind?
So our apologies for the mix-up for last call. We had emailed Lori the night before. It was a last-minute thing. So actually when we received your email, we were still on the call with the client.
Okay.
Zoom
call. Yeah, so. It's fine. So what else is on your mind?
Well, Rox, I don't know if Roxana mentioned to you on our last call, the other advisor that was in a partnership with us was being forced to retire. And it was supposed to be now in September, but I think they extended him another 2 months so that he could continue to contact clients. So we've been contacting some of those clients trying to build up a big book.
Yeah, which is not a big percentage. It's not.
So, Rick, we're having trouble with your speaker again.
Yes. There's an echo with your speaker.
Yeah, I thought it was if you lean forward, it was better, but it's not.
Yeah, I'm going to call in. Call in me a second.
Okay.
You guys, so I'll continue the. So, yeah, so this partner, he's the one that's been at the firm 40-some years. And management, he is being forced into retirement. And this book that we share, it's in an FAP. And once the FAP was over, ultimately it would be a 50-50. We get 50, he gets 50%. We manage probably 90% of that book, like 100, like we manage it completely. Like he has no conversations with 90% of the book. 90% are on Supernova. So the other 10% that he was handling, some he had an issue with, I guess there was not communication or whatever, and Nico gave it to Adam Carlin, which is one of the top advisors in our firm. He didn't realize that it was.
Oh, yeah,
he just gave it to them. There's been multiple, it's been like three clients from that book that have just been given to Adam Carlin. No split, no nothing. And then the remaining ones, we've let it slide. I did that last one, the third time around, I did have a serious conversation with Nico because I didn't think that was right or fair. And he apologized. He said this time around, he didn't realize that it was in a joint number with us, that he just spoke to the client and recommended Adam. So, the remaining clients that he was handling, we have actually just without even saying, we put them on Supernova. We've been calling them monthly and making recommendations, and they've all been very open and very happy in doing so. So once he retires, I was going to approach him to see if that 50% that he gets, he would give us a bigger percentage before retirement since we manage most of it, but Rick and I had a conversation and he's not leaving in great terms, not in bad terms with the firm. He's just not happy to leave. He doesn't want to leave. And, we don't want to cause any more angst to him. And, we felt that the right thing to do is to just let it slide. We're not going to, not for money. We're not going to cause any more, to the point that we feel that this may cause health issues for him in the future. I mean, he already has some kind of health situation and we feel this may aggravate it because Morgan Stanley was his, life, morning, day and night. I mean, that's all he has. That's all he does. So we made the decision that we're not going to go after a larger percentage or anything. We're just going to allow that other 50% now to go into another 5 year. Another 5 year. Yeah. Yeah. But you know what?
That would have happened anyway, right?
No. My thoughts were that he would eventually turn that over, to us because we're really managing all of it. But I guess it was probably a wrong assumption on my end. But at the end of the day, you know, our belief is that, you know, based on our
faith. But Roxana, we thought we were going to get a bigger percentage of it before he retired, but never that he was going to completely just turn over.
So
the bottom line is Roxana could have asked him for more of a percentage before he retired, so that we could have gotten more before it went to the FAP program, but it was always going to go into the FAP program.
Okay. Got it.
And as Roxana said, it was more about, for us, this is this gentleman's life, like she said. I mean, and what I mean, this gentleman's life, it's, you know, he has an adult child and everything, but their relationship is not he's not very involved with them. So as Roxana said, you know, he's there, you know, Monday through Saturday, sometimes even Sundays. And it's basically just, you know, what he's, it's just his activity that he does, you know. He doesn't exercise outside of the firm. He doesn't have any hobbies. He doesn't golf. He doesn't play tennis. He doesn't do any of that. All it is Morgan Stanley and wine, right? You know, and nice dinners and wine.
Oh, yes, he's a wine connoisseur.
Yeah. So you know, we didn't want to, we thought that, you know, approaching him at this time to ask for more, was kind of like kicking him when he was down already, you know, and just, you know, it's not going to be a huge difference in the grand scheme of things. We have a long career ahead of us. His is coming to an end. So because of our faith and because we just try to be good people overall, we try to put ourselves in other people's shoes. We just said, you know, let's let it be and move on.
Okay, so that's that, right? You're not going to need to. So they're going to be basically your clients.
And there's some opportunity in those clients because he was basically just straight transactional, right? Straight transactional, and you see some of these clients, he hasn't done transactions for them in a while, right? They're pretty decent sized clients, you know, 2 million to 5 million, things like that. And they're producing, you know, $1,200 a year, you know, $1,500 a year because it's, you know, maybe mutual fund trails or something like that.
Yeah. So they've accumulated a lot of wealth, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And one doctor that we've been talking to in particular, you know, he's getting closer to retirement age as well. So we're talking, you know, to do financial planning for him and things of that nature.
Yeah, I would go the financial planning route first.
Yeah.
And then introduce a new, you know,
We've had two calls with him and haven't recommended any changes. It's just been two calls of, hey, this is what's going in the market. This is how your portfolio is positioned. You know, this is where we see some opportunity. This is where we see some risk in your portfolio, type things like that.
Yeah.
So he gets a little more comfortable with us.
Right. Yeah. Remember, you don't have a client until they do a transaction.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then our next, the fourth or fifth call, we'll start introducing.
You're breaking up, Roxana.
Isn't the internet interesting? You think we're so sophisticated, and then it blows up.
Well, our daughter's in a school camp in Georgia for the week, and we have T-Mobile, and every cell service works where she's at except T-Mobile. So she's in heaven because she doesn't have to, you know, keep in contact with us.
She's having a good time. Mom is crazy because she's like,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think actually mom fell off right now, so she didn't hear this. But yeah, she borrows a friend's phone every day, like in the morning. Hey, mom, I'm awake. Everything's good. You know, we had a good day and that's it. Then she'll send her something at the end of the day.
That's pretty cool. That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
So how about other business ideas, other business initiatives?
So there's also, well, his book, right? He had partnerships. He was international and domestic, right? But we don't do any international. Morgan Stanley requires you to do, I think it's something over $100,000 a year of revenue to be considered to be an international advisor on your own, right? So yep. We don't have any international clients. So he had that book split with another international FA. Then he has another part of his book that he had done partnership with Adam Carlin. One of the big clients, I think maybe more than one of the big clients, does not want to leave Gladys, our assistant.
Okay.
Roxanne, are you on?
I'm on. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
we can hear you now. I just saw you pop up. So I was just telling Rob about Tony's book, how it's broken down, that he has a partnership with us. He had it with the international advisor, Andres, and he had some with Adam. And then some of the clients that he has don't want to leave Gladys.
Right.
They want to stay with Gladys. So there may be an opportunity there in the future because they're trying to figure out, you know, what to do with those clients, because Gladys is not going to work for Adam. She wants to stay with us, and they don't want to go with that team. They want to stay with her.
Interesting, huh? Okay.
So we may get some of those assets back that they inadvertently gave to Adam.
Good.
in a roundabout way, hopefully.
Good. What else?
Rick did enter. I saw Rick that he entered some of the anniversaries on the calendar.
Yes.
So that process has been started. We haven't really, it hasn't come up yet in the last few weeks where we've had a client yet, to call, but that's been moving forward. Being entered in the calendar, so that when the anniversary comes up, we will call and do as you suggested.
Yeah, it's just a good idea. You know, like I said, it's a good idea that nobody gets around to. Cause you know, it's like when you're doing it, you think, this is not worth the time. You know, this won't work, but it will.
And it's almost like so simple that, you know, it's just very simple. That's almost like too good to be true, you know, that it's so simple. So we'll see. We've started the process. I know Rick, I saw a few that Rick has already entered. And as the anniversaries come up, we'll start, you know, we'll go back and we'll start doing exactly as you suggested.
Yeah, it's a good project. It's kind of like Project Upgrade. You know, you're kind of constantly moving your clients into a different level of service. At the same time, you're marketing, moving yourself into a different level of marketing. You're just gradually getting better and better and better. And that's really what I want to see from you guys. I mean, you've been so patient. You've been good. You've hired me. You know, you stick at it. You're terrific at it. I just want to see a little bit of progress each week, right? Get a little bit better every day, and then every week, and then every month, and then every year. So
yeah.
The idea is to not try and do too much, just every day, enter some anniversary dates, you know, plan the month, put the enthusiastically endorsed question on the calendar,
right,
on every agenda for every client. So you get those, you know, and that helps you build your mastermind group, build your network, and just keep pushing that forward. If it's not on the agenda, if it just doesn't get done.
Very true. Yeah, I don't mind out of sight. You forget.
Right, right. And that's why I like having folders that where you put the folder into the calendar. So for if you're going to meet with a center of influence, you have the calendar, you have the folder, and that date of that meeting goes just as if he's a client. He may be a client, but that meeting with him to talk to him about introductions given and received is going to happen calendar driven, not memory driven.
Exactly.
Right? So you take all those centers of influence that you either have or want to develop, you put them right into your calendar. Are they in your calendar now?
No, centers of influence are not in our calendar. No. No.
Okay, so that's another project, Rick.
Yeah.
See, if you enter them in the calendar, then you have an agenda, then you call them or meet with them, you go through the agenda, send them an executive summary, you've just, you know, they're busy, they're not thinking about you guys.
Yeah.
It's hard. You know the answers, you just have to find time. And you find time by time blocking, by having, you know, this is my time with my centers of influence. This is my time with my mastermind group. This is my time with, so you just lock that in. And that's as important as your biggest client. So let's just make a pact that we're going to make a little bit of progress every month in each area that you just, you decide you want to make progress on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And the calendar is the way of determining whether or not you made the progress. If you don't have a folder and you don't have it in your calendar, you didn't make any progress. That's the start. That's not the end. That's the start. Mm-hmm. And then when that calendar event comes up, if you don't have an appointment, you still use that time to work on that project. Okay.
Got it.
So your mastermind group, it comes up every month. Either if you don't have it already, that's when you work on it. Okay. So the kids are in school, so you have a little more freedom.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's good. That's good.
Yes.
Miami is exploding still, right? Coral Gables,
no.
Miami, the whole area.
I think it started coming down a little bit. I mean, not enough for our office to open. But the trend.
You mean as far as exploding, as far as what, people coming down or?
Yeah, people still coming down, buying condominiums.
Completely exploding. Yeah. I mean, all of Florida, you can't, I don't know if we told you, we bought the house we were renting, at a 15% discount.
No, it was higher.
Higher.
It was higher than 15%. It was over 20% discount.
Yeah, because the gentleman was just beyond gracious. He wanted to, he's in his 90s. He wanted to get rid of the property. We met with his daughters, actually. So it wasn't just with him. And we ended up buying the house in July. And I have to tell you, only God can do something like that because it's a blessing. You cannot find a house in Miami. There's, you know, all cash buyers, no inspection, the terms are ludicrous, and the property, let's say, that was going for 600 is now maybe 1.5 million.
Oh my God.
Yeah. houses. When we sold our home, we were looking at houses in like the $700,000 range, $800. Those are probably 1.6, 1.7 million the last I checked.
Wow.
Yeah. No, everybody's moving here. Everybody's moving here.
You live in the right
state.
Down
and it slowed down in the sense as far as of activity, but the prices haven't come down. And you know,
no.
Yeah.
We have a, and it's not just Miami. It's pretty much all of Florida. We have a client who had a home in Atlanta. They just bought in Stewart. They sold a home. His wife went to, what is the name of that mall in Atlanta? That's, you know, it's like Mary Place
yeah,
here.
Just the Atlanta market got,
so she got, she got chased down. She got followed.
Yeah, it got dangerous.
It got dangerous. And, they sold the property. They sold the home and moved here. They bought a home here. They build a home. And so we have, yeah.
If you're not in Buckhead or something in Atlanta, you're in trouble.
She was in Buckhead.
What happened is that they opened
a mall. Yeah. There's a big mall in there in Buckhead. Petrie or something like that. And what happens is that the Atlanta Metro drops off right in front of the mall, right? So the criminals come. There's been a huge uptick in crime at that mall. The criminals get on the metro, come, do their crime, and just jump on the metro and they disappear. So it's actually logistically a great spot for criminals to do crime. So she got chased down and accosted, and
well,
they said
she
that's
got
it,
chased
we're out
down
of here.
By men. You know, and they were yelling at her, do you want to, like, sexual slurs and things like that. And they followed her. I mean, she said it was very, very scary. So she ended up selling and, you know, they ended up selling. Right. I mean, I'm talking about within a week, they put it for sale and moved.
Yeah. It's just a bad experience. You don't feel safe.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was
yeah.
Crazy. It's a crazy world. Yeah. We're
I have a question. We have a client who's older and his health has been deteriorating. His wife is maybe 10 or 20 years younger than him, Roxana.
Yeah.
And he has his estate is kind of like broken up in two. Right. That's part of it's going to go to his wife and a little bit. She's going to give a little bit to her family. And then, his adult son who he had before this wife, and I think daughter, right? It's an adult
daughter,
son
yes.
Daughter.
Daughter and son.
Yeah. Yeah. Are going to get the other portion of it. The son is, has his own advisor. They live in Louisiana. They have, you know, everything set up and
he's
apparently
an
the relate. Yeah, he's an attorney and the relationship is, you know, it's amicable, but it's not between the son and the stepmother, right, Roxana?
Yes.
It's amicable, but we think that, you know, when this older gentleman passes that, you know, they're just going to go their separate ways type thing.
Let me correct Rick, the estate transfers to her completely. Ooh. At his passing. It's to the wife. And then after the wife passes, then it goes to the kids.
Oh,
it would go two-thirds, one-third then?
After the wife passes, it would be split. Her estate will go to whoever she wants, her trust, and his trust will go to his kids.
Okay. So 100% of his money goes to his kids. Okay.
Yes. And he has, I'll tell you right now, they're the Exxon executives that he finally, after probably 10 years of talking to them about it, they brought in the 10 million or 6 million. And it was 10 at the time. Then it came down to 6 of Exxon stock.
So he has 7.7 in his trust plus 6.8 in his IRA.
Right. The IRA,
it's a $22.5 million account.
What's to prevent her from spending it all?
Oh, she would never. Yeah. Never. She's her medical expense. They don't touch this account at all. Her medical expenses, because he is in a bed, they need medical equipment and everything now for his upkeep. She's been using, a lot of their own cash and resources to not touch this account. And she came to us just to see if she can get maybe $5,000 a month extra. I mean, like she does not, very frugal. She will not spend it.
Okay. I was just wondering, because if, you know, he intends it to go to his sons and she spent it all, there wouldn't be anything left.
Yeah. No. She would never. Never. Like, I mean, I know her for 20 years. They're a client that came over when I moved over from Merrill in 2003. So I've known them since I was 24 years old.
Okay.
Yeah. And no, she would not. She would not. They're very good clients. She's a very good client as well. And
you're just concerned that when the money goes to the kids, what about the daughter? Do you have a relationship there?
No relationship.
We don't have a relationship with either of the kids.
No. And he doesn't have like a, you know, they may see each other once a year, but there's no warm and fuzzy or, you know, there's not a lot of communication there. They see their father, but maybe once or twice a year, and that's as far as it goes. So it's not a very easy topic to bring up.
Yeah. That was basically my question. It's a very sensitive.
Very sensitive. To the point that years, maybe 10, 15 years ago, I recommended life insurance, maybe doing a second to die, and he said he did not care when his kids inherited the money, let them pay whatever they had to pay.
Oh.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He was not doing anything extra for them.
Wow. So he doesn't mind paying Uncle Sam, huh?
No. Well, he does himself now, but not when his kids inherit it.
Yeah. Right.
Well, he set up his trust and all that to kind of avoid all that to begin with, you know. But yeah. We're going to see how that works out now with the new tax law, right?
Right. Well, 2026, we go back to what, 5 million?
Well, we're assuming that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're assuming
Hopefully
that, but
not
we think that there's going to be an estate tax law change before year end. And not only a state law, but actually, income tax law change as well. And the craziest part of it is that they're recommending it to be retroactive to January 1st of this year.
Yeah, this is from an attorney that we work with that handles our largest clients. That's been doing a lot of planning.
Are they doing anything in anticipation of this?
There's done some things, but not a lot because they gotta wait till they don't want to do anything that actually could jeopardize them, especially if they do something that's retroactive, you know, to January 1st.
Right, but last year, 2020, we did, Clara did gift some additional money.
Oh, yeah, monies. Yeah, we did a lot in 2020.
Last year, in 2020.
Yeah, we did a lot in 2020.
A client more than enough, our $25 million client, she has more than enough, you know, she's also very frugal. And so she passed along, they have multiple trusts, for family trusts. And she transferred more money to the trusts in 2020.
To the kids. She gifted more money to the kids. Yeah.
To these trusts. Yeah.
Well, it's an interesting period. You're the politics are disturbing, but it's still the greatest country in the world.
We'll just Amen.
Pray it stays that way, right?
Amen. We don't have people jumping on moving airplanes to try to get out of this country, no matter how bad anyone can say that it is. You know, we don't have people going to those extremes. If you see what the Afghans were doing to get out of, you know, Afghanistan. So
I asked my liberal friends, which do they think is worse, communism or the Talibanism?
What did they say?
Oh, Taliban are much worse. Communism. Yeah. Right. Communism has just never been interpreted right. It hasn't been.
Yeah.
They always say the same thing. Communism is great. Wait, it's just the people that don't do it right.
That's what they always say. Yeah, but that's been
it's actually
centuries.
Always been interpreted right. It's been interpreted to the T.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a great way to get control of a society and keep it all for yourself.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, the Castros have nice homes in Europe, and actually Fidel Castro's kids live in Europe and live like kings.
Of course they do.
Yeah, so meanwhile, the people are starving.
Right. It's just, anyway, I'm not sure.
So any ideas as far as how to approach this situation with this client? Because obviously it's also sensitive because this gentleman is older in age and he has been having some challenges, you know, some health, as Roxana said, they've had to put a medical bed in his house and stuff like that.
If he doesn't want to help his children, mm-hmm. There's not much you can do.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
I mean, he's not charitably inclined. He's not, he doesn't want to help his kids. I mean, you know, take a trip around the world on a ship, you know. You're not gonna, you know, maybe you'll give him one last trip around the world.
Yeah.
Go spend the money. I don't know. There's not, you know, when people are irrational and self-centered, it's not very easy to have them become good clients. I mean, they're great people, but they're just not interested in either helping others or helping their kids. Is not, I mean, that's what we do, right? We help people have their hopes and dreams come true. Sounds like their hopes and dreams are long gone.
Right.
So, yeah, give me another case. That one's too hard.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know some are, but that's just confirmation for us that we've done everything we possibly can, you know, on our end.
Yeah, just, you know, grow the money as much as you can in order to have, you know, a bigger account, which you collect a bigger fee on.
Right.
That's about the best I can tell you. You know, you grow, double their assets in the next 5 years and you do fine. But once it's gone, it sounds like it's going to be gone.
Yeah. That's why we need to bring in new clients and not depend, you know, not let one client be such a big part of our book.
Well, you know, when his wife passes, it'll be gone because she's going to maintain.
Right. She's in her 70s.
Yeah. She's in her 70s.
Yeah. But she could live to her 90s, you know, so
that's true.
You got 20 more years of growing the money. And if she's not using it, I mean, it's actually ideal, right? If she doesn't use it and you grow it, I mean, you double it twice between now and then. Now you have a $60 million client. Wow. Now we got something.
Yeah.
You know, and you can do that, right? It's not that hard in 20 years.
No.
70, 80, 90. She could easily live into her 90s. And,
Yeah. She definitely has a good likelihood of living into her 90s.
Yeah.
Very healthy, very active.
Care of herself.
Is she charitably inclined at all?
A little more than he is.
Yeah, so when he passes...
She has a very good relationship with her sister and her niece. She never had any children. And part of her planning is taking care of her sister and her niece.
And we have her sister. Account.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we have her sister's account. Yeah.
How about the nieces and nephews?
Well, the sister has one niece. Or I think she may have had more, but she did have another. Sadly, a son that passed away. So I don't know if she has another sister as well. But the, we have the mom. We don't have, we don't have the
niece.
The niece. His,
her husband works for, it's not IDF.
No, the IMS. So they're not here. They were last, you know, they were in Tunisia for a few years, the most recently, you know, so, it's very rare to get, you know, get them, get an audience with them is the way I'll put it.
Yeah. All right. Any other cases?
Yeah, I have Christian Science Church and Christian Science a daycare facility, because they don't believe, they don't do any type of medicine.
Well, you know, it's have, not a daycare. It's like a healthcare facility for recovery.
Because that's where you would go as opposed to a hospital within their religion.
Yeah.
So for the husband and wife who Melanie originally set up these accounts, retired, he handled the Christian Science Church accounts, and she handled the healthcare facility, combined about 10 million. And, with the pandemic, I guess they had less. Something happened and they're going to dissolve all of their accounts, and First Church, a church, is going to be gifting all of this over to Daystar and set up an endowment. I have brought in, I am not well versed in endowments. So I went to Greystone, to Sam Brandswine, and he brought in someone by the name of Joyce to help me with it. And, I felt that it's better to get, you know, a percentage of something than a percentage of nothing. And I would be doing a disservice since I am not familiar with endowments whatsoever. And this person, Joyce, that's all that she does. We met with the board a couple of months ago. And since then they've had a meeting with, what is the name of that organization? It's an insurance company. So it's an insurance company and a small bank.
TIA Craft.
Yeah, TIA. Thank you. And they're going to be making a decision this Friday. My thinking is that with the expertise of Greystone, quite frankly, I mean, they are top of the line in what they do. It may even open the door to venture on to other Christian Science churches and endowments within the country. You know, they're all pretty engaged. So the last correspondence I got from her, she asked me to pull a report on how the accounts have done for specific time periods. And I was holding my breath, but year to date, they're up 10 points. And this is 50% in the market. And granted, they can't invest in any type of healthcare, any type of firearms, any type of drugs, or so forth. So you're
defense,
to date,
any defense, healthcare, defense, or tobacco, yeah, or alcohol.
Right. You're to date up 10. Oh, and I'm sorry. Let me backtrack. I'm all over the place here. The owners sold their home and they brought the money to us. So they opened an account with us, and now I'm looking at the returns for the daycare, for the healthcare facility. Year to date, they're up 10%. They wanted to see how they've done in the last 2 years, up 11.3. Last 3 years, up 8.2, and 8.5 for the last 5 years. So considering, all of their requirements, and that, you know, they're not, you know, they're 50-50 right now. They've done pretty well. So we'll see. We'll find out on Friday who they make a decision to go with.
Interesting. The guy that runs Greystone is, I hired him back in probably 1986.
Oh my, I was in middle school.
Craig,
should I not say things like that?
His name is Craig Dobbs.
I think I've heard of him. Yep. I've never met him.
He's the managing director for Greystone. They have about $500 billion
yep.
in assets. And he has, in Indianapolis, he manages union business. And he manages about $37
billion. Wow.
So this was a kid that didn't finish Ball State and came to work for, he worked for Northwestern Mutual Life as a student salesman. Was the best in the country for selling other students life insurance policies. And
right.
he was introduced to me because he was such a good salesman. I hired him before he graduated because he had dropped out of school to sell more policies. And then he finished up at Ball State and then he got his master's at Notre Dame. But, he and I worked on bringing in, we brought in the local sheet metal workers and the Building Trades Council. And then we went to Washington when they got screwed up with the national sheet metal workers. And we took over the national sheet metal workers account, which was in the billions. And,
wow.
And so he got that. And then he just started getting, you know, unions all over the country. Both his parents were union. Members. So it gave.
I remember the story in the book.
It's in the book, right? And he was.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a master of getting, introductions from centers of influence. He made, you know, he had great friends who were CPAs and attorneys and other things. And they would, I remember Monday morning, I'd walk into his office and if he wasn't there, there'd be like three or four slips there for him to call different people that he'd been introduced to over the weekend. So it's out there for the taking.
Yes.
You just have to specialize in something and get really, really good at it. My point is that if you need help on any union business or you just need any help, call him.
And, okay.
He visited me. He had two cars in the race. We had an Indy car race in like a Formula One race in the streets of Nashville. And he came down.
Oh, awesome.
He came down to visit, to be with his cars and, visit some clients. And so we had him up to our condo, which sat right on the track. I mean, literally they came right around in front of our building.
So you're in downtown Nashville.
We're in downtown Nashville. So anyway, use that connection. It's, if you can get opportunities, you know.
Okay. Yes. Absolutely.
He's the guy. He'll fly his plane in.
Wow.
Well,
I love to hear
you're
those
managing
stories.
$38 billion, you could do that.
Yeah.
What a beautiful story.
Yeah. He's upgraded. Yeah. This is a kid whose parents, I mean, literally worked in the factory up in northern Indiana. Both of them worked in the factory. And here he is, you know.
That's awesome.
I don't know how much he has, 100 million?
Amazing story.
200 million,
love it.
Probably.
Love it.
That's all.
Yeah, and it's fun, you know, it's fun to, I mean, you know, he comes and talks to me like I'm dad, right?
Yeah.
I want to tell you how great I'm doing, Dad. So it's fun. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun seeing him again. I haven't seen him for a long time. He's been, you know, he keeps himself busy.
Right.
He said he's doing business with most of the unions in Nashville now. So that's pretty good.
Amazing.
Yeah. So it's all, you know, it's all about networking and connections and.
Yes. So my point is that I, you know, Rick and I made the decision to partner with Greystone, just because one, I would be doing a disservice to try to bring on an endowment when I know nothing about endowments. I do not know a thing about them. And then secondly, you know, I just felt we would be very competitive and, keep
right.
the account.
Yeah, TIAA CREF is terrible. You should beat them.
Yes.
I mean, I hate them. You know.
Yes.
Always have. They always underperform. They've just been awful, you know. Northern Trust is a little better than they used to be, but that was another one that I had no use for. I just thought they were just terrible at managing money. They're better now. They operate like any other broker, but they always did everything internal and took a lot of fees, took a ton of fees out and, you know, self-dealing, a lot of self-dealing going on there for trust company. Anyway.
Trust company.
Yeah, Northern Trust.
There's no trust.
Yeah. Northern No Trust. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Okay, guys. Well, increments. Every day. Increments.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Daddy Rob. Hopefully one day we'll have a story to tell like your union
Yes. Yes, yes, I know. He was like my son because actually
we
did a Back to the Future thing and he was my son in that we literally did the Back to the Future. We made a movie and he was my son.
Oh, that's
Marty.
Marty, he was Marty.
Marty, yeah.
Marty McFly.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, that's a great story.
Yeah. We spent a lot of time together. Okay. I'll see you guys.
All right. Okay.
Stay safe.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.